Penguin Random House Audio presents Tokyo Ueno Station by Yumiri. Translated by Morgan Giles. Read for you by Johnny Heller. There's that sound again. That sound. I hear it. But I don't know if it's in my ears or in my mind. I don't know if it's inside me or outside. I don't know when it was, or who it was either. Is that important? Was it? Who was it? I used to think life was like a book. You turn the first page, and there's the next. And as you go on, turning page after page, eventually you reach the last one. But life is nothing like a story in a book. There may be words, and the pages may be numbered, but there is no plot. There may be an ending, but there is no end. Left behind, like a sculpted tree on the vacant land where a rotted house has been torn down. Like the water in a vase after wilted flowers have been removed. Left behind. But then, what of me remains here? A sense of tiredness. I was always tired. There was never a time I was not tired. Not when life had its claws in me, and not when I escaped from it. I did not live with intent. I only lived. But that's all over now. I watch slowly, like always. It's not the same scene, but it's similar. Somewhere in this dull scene, there's pain. In this seemingly familiar time, there are moments that hurt. I look closer. There are lots of people. Each and every one different. Each and every one with different minds, different faces, bodies, and hearts. I know that, of course. But seen from a distance, they all look just the same. Or similar. Each and every face looks like nothing so much as a small pool of water. I'm watching for myself, on the day I first set foot on the platform at Ueno Station, in the throng of people waiting for the Yamanote Line inner loop train to arrive. I used to look at my appearance reflected in mirrors, glass panes and pictures, and I had no confidence in myself. I do not think I was especially ugly, but I never had the kind of looks that would have attracted anyone's attention. My reticence and incompetence troubled me more than my appearance. The worst of all was how unlucky I was. I had no luck. I hear that sound again, just that sound, like it's blood coursing, like a vivid current flowing. Back then, I heard nothing but that sound, rushing around inside my skull, like there was a hive in my head, and hundreds of bees were trying to fly out all at once. It buzzed, and burned, and hurt. I could think of nothing anymore. My eyelids twitched and trembled, as if they were being hit by raindrops. I clenched my fists. All the muscles in my body tensed. It ripped me to shreds. But the sound wouldn't die. I couldn't catch it and trap it, or lead it far from me. I couldn't close my ears to it, and I couldn't get away. Ever since then, that sound has lived with me. Lived? The train now approaching Platform 2 is for Ikebukuro and Shinjuku. For your safety, please stand behind the yellow line. If you go out the ticket gates at Ueno Station's park exit and look over the road to the grove of ginkgo trees, you'll always see homeless people there. When I sat there, I felt like an only child who had been orphaned, despite the fact that both of my parents had lived into their 90s, never leaving their village in Soma, Fukushima Prefecture. And following my own birth in 1933, My parents had 4 daughters and 3 sons. Haruko, Fukiko, Hideo, Naoko, Michiko, Tatsuo, and Masao. The 14 years between Masao and me made him more like my child than my brother. But time had passed, and here I sat, alone, growing older. During my brief light slumbers, I would snore, exhausted. And when my eyes opened now and then, the net-like shadow traced by the leaves of the ginkgos would sway. And I felt that I was wandering directionless, despite being here, despite having been here in this park for years. Enough! The word shot from the man who had appeared to be asleep. White smoke rose slowly from his mouth and nostrils. The cherry of the cigarette he held in his right hand looked like it would soon burn his fingers. Years of sweat and grime had changed the colors of his clothing beyond recognition, but with his tweed flat cap, checkered coat, and brown leather boots, he looked like an English huntsman. Our car climbed Yamashita Dori toward Yugoshitani. The lights turned green. The signal for the visually impaired bleeped, and the people coming out of the station at the park exit started to cross the road toward us. The man leaned forward at the sight of the people crossing the road, people with beautifully decorated homes, as if he were searching for the limits of his vision. And then, hand trembling, as though this gesture took all the strength he had left, he brought the cigarette up to his mouth to inhale. His beard more white than not, then exhaled as he put the thought behind him, spreading his aged fingers to drop the cigarette, snuffing out the embers with the toe of his faded boot. Another man, sleeping with a large translucent bag of scavenged aluminum cans tucked between his legs, clutched a clear vinyl umbrella as if it were a cane. A woman slept prone, using a maroon backpack as a futon, and her arms as a pillow, her white hair tied up with a rubber band. The faces had changed, and the numbers had gone down. After the asset bubble burst, the population swelled and the park was so crowded with tarp huts that you could no longer see the grass, only the paths and facilities, like bathrooms and kiosks. Whenever a member of the imperial family was due to visit one of the park's museums or galleries, a mass eviction would occur. We would be forced to take down our tents and be driven out of the park. And on returning after dark, we would find new signs reading, "Lawn maintenance in progress. Please keep off the grass," further restricting the space we could take. Many of the homeless in Ueno Imperial Gift Park came from the northeast. The gateway to the north. During the post-war economic boom, young people from the northeast had taken overnight trains en masse to search for work in the capital, and Ueno was the place they disembarked. And when they went back home for the holidays, with only the bags they could carry, Ueno was where they caught their trains. 50 years had passed. Parents and siblings had died, and the family homes we should have returned to had disappeared for those of us who passed our days in this park. The homeless people sitting on the concrete enclosure around the grove of ginkgo trees are all either sleeping or eating. A man wearing a dark blue baseball cap pulled low over his eyes and a khaki button-down shirt was eating a bento off the lap of his black trousers. We never lacked for food. There was an unspoken agreement with the many long-established restaurants in Ueno. After they closed for the night, many places did not lock their back doors. Inside, clearly set apart from the food waste, the unsold food would have been neatly portioned out and bagged. Convenience stores, too, would put bentos, sandwiches, and pastries past their best-before date in the area next to the dumpster. So if we went before the trash was collected, we could claim anything we wanted. When it was nice out, we had to eat the food right away. But when it was cold, we could keep it in our huts for days, and heat it up on cap.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?